They're the joyful agains our children shout on the swings, the exhausting agains of cooking and laundry, and the difficult agains of discipline. So much of what we do as mothers is on repeat. So what if we woke up with clarity, knowing which agains we were called to, and went to bed believing we are faithful in what matters most? We believe God's word is the key to untangle from the confusion and overwhelm we feel. Let's look up together to embrace a motherhood full of freedom and joy. Have you ever listened to an episode of this podcast and thought, we have it all together? You won't feel that way at the end of this one. If you're struggling and need to know that you're not alone, this episode is all for you. Welcome to the Again Podcast, brought to you by Entrusted Ministries. I'm your host, Stephanie Hickox, and today I am humbly joined by Jen Freckman and Emily Deal as we share the struggles that we have personally identified through one of the quizzes in the Entrusted with the Child's Heart notebook. Although it is painful to be refined and to evaluate our weaknesses before the Lord and how we are exasperating our children, we are so grateful for this tool and this resource that Betsy created that teaches us what we are to put on. We are so thankful to be pointed towards God's word and how we need to be refined through the Holy Spirit. This episode connects to Lesson 10 of Entrusted with the Child's Heart. If you've been thinking, all right, I have to see a sample lesson of Entrusted, then this is your chance. Head to our website, www.entrustedministries.com. On our homepage, you can sign up for our new freebies. You're going to get all of Lesson 10, the hour-long video taught by Betsy Corning. This also will include the full listening guide that will show you what the Entrusted with a Child's Heart notebook looks like. And then also you're going to receive the quiz sheet that you'll be able to score yourself as you listen to the lesson. You can even print out an extra copy for your husband to do along with you if he'd like. And then to sum it all up, the full circle discipline sheet can be printed off. There's a printable of that as well. We find that this is so helpful for reminding us how to bring our children to full repentance and restoration and make sure that we keep their hearts as we discipline them. Because this is not about behavior change. This is about changing hearts and pointing them toward their Savior. With that said, I'm now going to share with you an episode in which Jen, Emily, and I share how entirely in need of Jesus Christ we each are in our parenting and in all of life. To get us kicked off, I would like to know, and I realize it is impossible to narrow it down, what are the books that you most often recommend to others? I'm sure we're each going to have several here. That's okay. I'm sure our listeners would love to hear our top picks. Emily, let's start with you.
I was going to say, I want to hear Jen's. I know she has an arsenal full of books, and I want to know.
I know. Yes. So I was like,
do I give Jen a second to narrow it down? Okay.
I love it. I know. I feel like, okay, what topic are we talking about? Because I could give you one from each one. But first off my lips, I will say is anything Elizabeth Elliot. Becoming Elizabeth Elliot was excellent. And I often will recommend that one. Suffering is Never for Nothing by Elizabeth Elliot. Anything about or written by Elizabeth Elliot is always a good one that I'm recommending. Also, same with Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Anything about him or written by him, I'm all for. Yeah, those are the top two that I can think of.
It's
right
hard
now
to be Elizabeth Elliot. Mm-hmm. Her books. I know. So just a truth. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Says I can't top that, I'm out. No, I'm just kidding. I would say that I think every mom with a daughter should read. It's called Raising a Daughter in a Toxic Culture. And it's really good for moms raising daughters. There are lots of relevant things that we face today. This is a memoir book, but I love a book called Dirt. And it's by an author from my home state, West Virginia. And I identify with it so beautifully. And she's a beautiful writer. I'm going to do one more. I recommend the book called The Hard Good. And it just talks about the different places that God uses the hard things in our life for good.
That's good. Okay, I'm going to add one more. Since you did three, then I'm going to do another. And I'll just say anything about the Puritans or written by the Puritans. I love myself a good classic Puritans read. The reason I love him is because you'll know so much more about the Lord. You won't know anything about the author. Today's books, I feel like you know so much about the author and so little about the Lord. And I so often just want to know more about the Lord. And the Puritans will get me right there and will make me see how fragile my faith is and how weak my faith is and how I need to be just so much stronger.
I think I'm going to pick some recent reads that were really influential. Habits of the Household by Justin Whitmell Early. Mm-hmm. I feel is the most practically helpful parenting book I've ever read because it is how you can use liturgy to redeem everyday practices in your home. It doesn't matter what your home looks like. Your children go to bed, they eat, you leave sometimes. It just teaches how to redeem all those moments for the Lord. And he gives examples, but he's very humble about it. So that is one that I think it's just so practically applicable. That is an incredible book.
That's great.
Teaching from Rest by Sarah McKenzie, I have talked about before on this podcast, but I think that one is so helpful because it reminds us the heart of what we want our children to remember, that overarching, we want them to have a peaceful, calm mother and to not get caught up in the doing. So that's a fantastic one. One that I've started reading recently that's revolutionary, even though it's not written from a Christian perspective. I think he's just such a clear communicator, is Atomic Habits by James Clear. It's very interesting how you can order your moments and your days in a specific way that does help you become the person that you want to be before the Lord, even though that, again, it's not written from a biblical perspective. But I think so many of these little decisions are adding up to who we want to be. And to think about the science of it and how to help ourselves become more successful. So those are just some more recent ones that have really been impactful in a practical way. So I'm going to go that route, Eve, because you guys took the heavy hitters. All right. That's a fun question to answer, but we are going to get into some heaviness in this episode and be pretty authentic and share with you some convicting moments that we had as we took the quiz in lesson 10, just putting off and putting on growing in Christlikeness. A godly mother does not exasperate her children. And in Trusted, we talk so much about the child's heart and a child's nature. And we want to make sure that we're really evaluating ourselves before the Lord and making sure that we are being the kind of people that we're asking our children to be. So this lesson really has us hold up a mirror and helps us evaluate how we are doing in 16 areas. I do really appreciate that Betsy doesn't just point out the sins that we so easily fall into as mothers, but that she points us to what we should be putting on in the Lord. And that is available in Him through the Holy Spirit. And that real change only happens with the Lord's help. With all that we're sharing, we know that there is hope for each of us. And we hope that we are an example that whatever you're struggling with, there's hope in the Lord to change. Jen, as you took this quiz and as you listened to this lesson, were there moments of conviction for you?
Oh, for sure. And it's interesting because I've taken Entrusted a number of times. And so when my kids were really little, the answers were different. And I could see in the book how they were different now when I took it just a year ago, where I was struggling had changed, which in some ways I was like, oh, good, I'm changing. But then I'm like, oh, but I'm still sinful. Just in new ways. So there's that. But I'll say the most recent that I took, I scored a little bit higher on the neglect or lack of attention. And I gave myself a higher score because I was being distracted by my phone. And also that I was putting like my workout or, I know it sounds crazy, but my devotional time in front of them. And so I would often like to do my devotions right after lunch. That was very important to me. It still is very important to me. But I was realizing that maybe that wasn't the best time for the family. And so now that they're a little bit older and things are changing around, how can that shift? Maybe I needed to be a little bit selfless and get up early, which is really hard for me, but get up early to do it since I'm not waking up in the middle of the night with little ones or whatever. So that and even my workout, like when am I going to work out? Does it serve the family well to do it when I want to do it? Also knowing that I'm homeschooling all day and I'm with them. It is funny how it says neglect or lack of attention. You would think like you homeschool, you're with them all day. How could you neglect them? But really, I have to constantly remind myself that this is their school day and they are my priority. I need to give myself to them first and then meet my needs later. So I scored myself a little bit higher on those areas because I want to make sure that I'm doing those things. I think I can be a little bit selfish sometimes with how I'd want to do that. I also scored higher in not giving them the opportunity to explain. I laugh, but I often am like, I really don't want to hear the inner lawyer come out and I really don't want to hear their explanations. Like they're going to try to talk me out of it or they're going to just argue with me and I don't want to argue. And so I've often just been like, nope, you don't get to explain it. And I don't want to do that. I want to sit down and say, okay, with respectful timing and with respectful in your words and without trying to argue with me, I would like to hear what your perspective is now that you're older and we can talk things through and allow them to explain and allow them to share a little bit more of their heart. Because I often think I can tell what their sin is, but oftentimes when I listen to them, I am wrong. And so I don't want to just immediately jump to conclusions that I know. And then also I just put on for the modeling anger or sinful habits, I was not super high, but I gave myself probably a 2 or a 3 just because I wanted to not get frustrated. I know that I can be quick to get frustrated and be like, this isn't what I was saying, or this isn't how I want you to behave. And so just to not do that, just to be calm. I remind myself often that the anger of mommy does not produce the righteousness of God. Just because I'm upset by this does not mean they're going to change. And just not being upset or frustrated in the moment and just be calm and just be patient with them and realizing that they're also a work in progress and the Lord is working in their hearts as well. Those were the three that I definitely needed to work on a little bit more as they've gotten older.
Sure. Thanks for that transparency. And I think it is interesting how, as you were sharing about your quiet time and your workout, that was a wise, thought out, holy decision for a season. And now as the season is changing and the age of your children, the Lord's calling you to adapt. Mm-hmm. And obviously you're still keeping your priority of the Lord is first, but you're saying, how can I best serve my family? And what times do I need to be most available to them right now? Mm-hmm. And it's got to change. That's very sacrificial to interrupt your routine for the good of the whole family. Emily, what was coming up for you?
Listening to Jen talk, I think life comes in seasons and we're always altering and changing. And what worked for the last couple years, maybe it won't work this year. So this was interesting to me. I took Entrusted many years ago and I have the old book and the new book. And I, like Jen, scored differently. And I thought, oh, look at me. I'm doing so well. And then retook it and I'm like, oh, wow, I'm struggling in these places. Great. Because in my old book, I put being too strict or excessively involved. I gave myself a really high score on that many years ago. And then now I feel like I'm not involved at all. I'm just kidding. No, I feel I feel like the Lord honestly has done a work in my heart. And I've realized that I don't have to be fully in control, that I can relinquish control there and just pray a lot. So I love seeing how this has looked different through the different phases. So I would say the not giving them opportunity to explain, that's an area that I need to work in because we just know our children so well. And so we just know, okay, you're struggling. I see it. So I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to be your Holy Spirit and I'm going to tell you how to fix it. And I did struggle in lack of boundaries. When I first took Entrusted, I struggled setting up those boundaries. I had a child who was super impulsive and I was like, well, I don't think the boundaries are going to do any good. And I was very wrong. The Lord showed me that. And so I struggled there and I scored better in it now, but that was a struggle. Modeling anger, It is so hard. I think any mom, if they're just super honest, you know, we all struggle in that. Not necessarily anger at like them, but just in situational things, especially when you have a lot of moving parts and you're trying to get the kids in the car and someone is running out without a shoe and you're like, where's your shoe? We have to go. It's so hard to not in those moments. That one that sometimes I need to work in unrealistic expectations and realizing that I need to work on that one. Because I would like to see areas of improvement, but it's not realistic sometimes because it's what I want. And it's not really like a life-changing character thing. It's just what I would like to see. And that, again, goes back to control that I need to relinquish. So I think the Lord is showing me that I need to relinquish some control that I like to think I hold. But we all know we really don't.
Yeah. It's interesting when you mentioned the unrealistic expectations. I just watched a video on this, and we actually showed it to the youth community that meets at our house about unrealistic expectations. This guy is talking to this group of graduates, and he said the biggest problem is having too high of expectations. And he is not a believer. He's not talking to a Christian university at all. But what he's saying is so biblical. And he talks about how I would wish for you no expectations. And in order to do that, you have to suffer because suffering produces character in you. When you have that character, you then understand what other people are going through a little bit more. On the list that Betsy has, it says unrealistic expectations is the behavior to put off. And the one to put on is understanding. I just thought that was so cool because here this man, he's not saying anything biblical. He doesn't think he is, but he's speaking the truth of God's word. Mm-hmm. And he's right that when you have unrealistic expectations and you grow in that, you become understanding to how maybe somebody can't be at the point that they're at right now. And you had to learn that through suffering. So I just thought that was interesting. I know that has not much to do with Entrusted's lesson, but I just thought it was really cool to hear that it was so recent.
My husband was listening to an audiobook recently. I think it's called Covenantal Household. I was overhearing it, and this is from a biblical perspective, but he was saying, your job is not just to make your children rise to the standard. It's to make them love the standard. Mm. So he said, if your children are failing at the standard, you lower the standard. And he said, I'm not talking about biblical mandates here. I'm talking about the extra character things or maybe guidelines you have for them. But he said, if your whole family is failing at calculus, take them back to sixth grade math. And I'm still refining this in my mind, but I was thinking about the application. I feel like I was working out with the Lord. Okay, so say we're sitting at the dinner table and my husband might have a big three and I've got a big three and they're not the same big three of things that bother us at the dinner table or things we're trying to get our children to learn. Maybe we need to come together and say, actually, just what are the three? And to not have so many things we're trying to teach them at once. Mm-hmm. Let's just master these couple. But I just thought that was so interesting. First of all, like to love the standard. Obviously, that's so beautifully said. But it speaks to the unrealistic expectations. Mm-hmm. I think there's something to be said about not compromising for a biblical standard. Yes, obedience. Right away, all the way with a happy heart. Like we still hold that. But there are these other things we're expecting that maybe we are just overwhelming them with what we're expecting. And sometimes it feels like, oh, I'm just guiding them. I'm just continuing to teach them and what it should look like. And it might be just exasperating.
Mm-hmm. So interesting. What about you, Steph? How did you score? We're not going to let you off the hook.
I didn't, you know, it was good to evaluate and to think about this because the Lord convicted me of something I was struggling with. I realized I was comparing my children to others. I just have very dynamic, lively, wonderful children. And I sometimes look at the children who are just very mild-mannered and I think, what am I doing wrong? Why aren't my kids more like that? And really the heart of it is fear of man. I am thinking, what are people thinking about me? What are they thinking about my mothering when my children
do that or when they do that. I wrestled through this with one of my children last year. Sometimes he's just bold. And there was something I had asked him, I don't want you talking about that anymore unless you're in our home. And I could see like the root of it, the sin of it. And he didn't honor me right away. And it was really a struggle for me because another mom had said to me, oh, I just told my child to stop and they stopped. And I was like, what am I doing wrong that my kid didn't just stop the first time? But then the Lord brought to me when this same child was in the hospital, when he goes for his infusions, he shares the gospel almost every time. And he always is sharing his faith. And I thought, of course, Lord, you have given him such a strength with the boldness of his mouth. And he will do great things with that mouth. But of course, that little boy is being refined right now. And who am I to wish that different character traits in my children, that they looked different now to make me feel better about my parenting and feel like I can manage their behavior better? Like I said, I'm ashamed to say that, but it was just so convicting how the Lord showed me what the real root of that was. And I think I can understand why sometimes it is such a lonely, like we're just waiting for that fruit, waiting for that fruit. It's okay to have a pat on the back from someone or an encouragement, but to press into the Lord, to say, but God, really, how am I doing before you? For me, I felt like it was two parts, to not just put on acceptance of who God has given me and placed in my home, but also to seek God's approval. Even taking this test, I was like, thank you, Lord, for putting words to, you know, the enemy might be trying to make me feel guilty in so many areas, but your conviction is specific and you're guiding me exactly where I am off track with you and with my children. So I just was thankful for this quiz, which is an unlikely thing for me who's so self-critical. Another one was discord between parents. I think in our home, this is something that I'm continually working out with the Lord with fear and trembling. What does this look like as my husband does have memory loss due to MS? And I find that sometimes he will introduce a standard and I'll, of course, want to support him in that. And so I'll uphold that standard. And then maybe a month later, he doesn't remember that he had said it. And so then I feel really discouraged. Hey, I've been holding them to that standard that wasn't important to me at all because I wanted to honor you. And now you're saying it's not important. So those are, of course, things that we're trying to work out privately. But I know that my kids, of course, they're perceptive and they pick up on part of that, or the fact that I homeschool and I'm with them all the time. And so all of a sudden, my husband might walk in the room and give a standard about homeschooling, and it's contrary to what I do with the kids, and I want to honor him in it, but because he's not with them as much, doesn't have as realistic of an expectation about what I'm calling them to. So I think those are things that come up, and I can do a better job of not getting exasperated in those moments. I try to always be peaceful and then say, hey, could we talk in the laundry room, please? And go and shut the door and try to work through it. Because I think I want to be very careful that I think it's lesson 8 that Betsy says, it is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. And if my husband sees that my children need to be called in a higher standard in something, or if he sees something that I'm not aware of, I want to have that refinement in their lives. And I feel like I continually need to be, maybe it's a flexibility in my heart that wherever he feels the need to speak in, that I would believe, even if it feels like an interruption to me, that it's valid and that before the Lord, that it's something that needs to be evaluated right then, that it's more important than the math lesson or whatever we're doing.
I think it just shows that not one family goes without struggles. It's so easy to look across the aisle at church and think, wow, they have it all together. And look at her new dress. But no one has it all together. And we're all struggling in some area. Yeah. And I think if this quiz does anything, it shows us, first of all, our reliance on him And then secondly, that none of us are scoring zeros on this whole quiz.
Totally.
No one is without struggle.
Right.
And it's so easy for us to wrap our package with a pretty bow because we can overlook our own faults. And we're so great at picking out other people's faults. This is meant for refinement, not for perfection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good word. That's I also appreciated the quiz because we're focusing on our children's behavior. And I'm so appreciated someone questioning me. And so often our kids are being evaluated by us and being disciplined by us. And unless we're spending time with the Lord and receiving what the Holy Spirit is convicting us of, not very many adults are going to ask you these questions. Not very many adults are going to say, so how you been in showing affection to your children? How have you been in setting boundaries on your iPhone? Just being able to be honest before the Lord and being asked those hard questions and to put myself in a place where my children are often in a place of being evaluated and making sure that their hearts are right and aligned with the Lord, but now also making sure that I was being aligned with the Lord and where I was off. I really appreciated it. I don't think you find that too often in most books or in life today.
A line I felt like the Lord had given me when I was first writing the intro for the podcast and everything is that he's more concerned with a to-be list than a to-do list.
Yeah.
And I think that this quiz speaks to that. Who are we? It's not about what we're accomplishing on a day-to-day basis. It is about who we are. It is, even though it's so convicting and it can be painful, like praise the Lord for an opportunity to stop and reflect, to say, this is where I am off track. And Lord, please, through your Holy Spirit, would you please reorder my heart, reorder my priorities. It's so helpful to get that log out of our eye, even though it does feel painful.
We're offered two choices when we come face to face with truth, and we can make a change or we can continue on. And this quiz, I think, helps us come face to face with what we really need to hone in on. And what I find encouraging and maybe discouraging also, but encouraging in that the old quiz, I can see where I had struggles. And then in the new quiz, I see, oh, the Lord's done a work in my heart. And now I need to move on to this one to refine.
Yeah. I like how she dives deeper into each of the things and how we can work through them. And under the one about being overly harsh in discipline or consequences and talking about anger and like, how does that work out? I remember taking this class and I wrote on the side, am I too busy? Because I get frustrated when I'm not living in a peaceful pace or living at a peaceful pace. And so often if I have scheduled too much for our day or if I've had too high of an expectation of what we would be able to get done in a day, that can frustrate me.
Page across from the quiz, at the top of the page is Colossians 3:8. And it says, but now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. And I think that's just a great reminder as well as a good charge to us that though we struggle with some of these items over on our quiz side, we'll always struggle because as long as we live on this side of heaven, we'll always struggle with something. But with the Lord's help, we can put these aside and work towards peace and harmony in our homes and work towards behaviors that don't exasperate our children, but rather brings our family and unites them together. I think it's just through yielding over to the Lord and just giving it over to Him over and over again.
We know you're busy, Mama, so we are truly grateful you joined us for this episode of Again. If you're looking for more information about building your home on the foundation of Jesus Christ, head to www.entrustedministries.com to learn more about our study for moms entrusted with a child's heart. This scripture-saturated study has blessed families around the world, and we want it for you too. Before you go, I want to pray this benediction over you from 2 Thessalonians 1:11 through 12. We're rooting for you. To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Until we meet again.